Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 14 of Season 4 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we take a hilarious and poignant journey through the 1989 Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan rom-com When Harry Met Sally, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Brian Lockhart of the Marvel Timeline something.
You're close.
I'm close.
Marvel Events Timeline.
Marvel podcast. Events Timeline podcast. Yeah, sorry, yeah, Travis. Was... Sorry, Brian. I came close. Welcome back. Welcome back, Brian.
Thank you. I'm still here. I'm glad to be back.
All right, great. So minute 14 begins with Sally explaining her dismay, and ends with Sally cordially saying goodbye. So yesterday we had the pinnacle of this movie. By having the conversation between Harry and Sally about whether men and women can be friends without any sex being involved. And at the end of yesterday's episode, Sally basically says to him, well, you know, that's too bad. So today, she continues that thought and explains why she was disappointed. And she says, well, you were the only person that I knew in New York. So
it is too bad because it's like a built-in friendship. I mean, even if it's like they're not like friends, but it's like you know, we can meet for coffee, hang out till we get situated, you know.
Right, that's true. But just the way that it plays out here is just really funny, you know, of how she's saying this. Mm-hmm. You know, so just you know, because you know, when you've seen the movie, when you're watching the movie, these two lines come together. With her saying, oh, that's too bad. And then, I mean, it was a great stopping point between minutes because then, you know, it starts here and now it's actually a little disappointing to hear that that's why she's upset about it. You know, it could be, on the other hand, you know, about saying, okay, they're just going to be friends. And she goes, well, that's too bad. You know, you can think in some ways that maybe she's having second thoughts and maybe she is considering that Harry might be the right person for her. I don't know. But, you know, once you get the rest of that conversation, you know that she's just looking for a friend in New York, and it makes it really. I don't know. I mean, do you think we're supposed to feel bad for her that she doesn't know anybody in New York? She's left college, she's going to journalism school in New York, and you know she says that she doesn't know anybody. She doesn't maybe have a roommate that she's supposed to be going to be joining, or I don't know, any type of family members, people. It just sounds very strange that she's going completely blind to a place like that.
Yeah, she does seem all alone, like through most of this movie, it seems like. So, I mean, I think maybe we're supposed to feel a little bad for her, just like, but even him, like, as well, like, they're the only ones they know in New York, as far as we know.
Right. And so we only just get a few seconds of the, you know, this conversation because all she says is, you're the only person in New York. And then, you know, we see the two of them for a few seconds and then, you know, the shot changes and we get an external shot of the New York skyline of 1977, more or less. You know, I always find it interesting, you know, watching movies that need to show a timeline, you know, like some sort of shot either in the past or in the future. And this was before they had CGI, where with CGI, it's very simple to just paint things in and stuff like that. You know, like even looking at this movie came out in 1989. So they only need to basically go back 11 years, you know, because from 88 to 77. And, you know, do you think all of these buildings, I don't know the answer to this. So it's not a question. You know, it's a question we're throwing out there. Do you think all of these buildings, first of all, looked similar in 1977? Or, you know, maybe some of them weren't even built back in 1977.
It's possible. I assume they'd probably try to find a spot that looked generic enough, you know. And if you look on the street, you know, they do their best to maybe fill it in with some older cars. Right. I don't know.
Right. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking just from the shot of the city, you know, only 4 seconds into this minute, you know, we get a shot over, I guess, the Hudson, you know, and obviously the one thing that I can make out from there is, the Empire State Building, and I think it's the Chrysler Building that I can recognize. But other than that, I can't recognize anything. It's not like
Yeah,
Chicago
they.
where last week we had a few more buildings that we were able to go into detail about, at least just from a shot of the city itself.
I saw it. I never questioned whether it was 87 or 77 to
Right.
tell
No,
you
I understand
the
that.
truth. Like,
In
it
most
just,
movies you don't.
yeah.
And it goes back to what I was saying earlier this week, that you have to, take when you look at a movie, as my friend Jay said, that what you need to do is you say, okay, in their reality, that's the way the skyline looked in 1977. Which it's a great way to think
Right.
about movies from that perspective. Because then you don't get into the whole idea, well, oh, there's a mistake. So it's not a mistake. It's a mistake in our world. But when, you and I are comic book people. So, having having a multiverse or multiple worlds and stuff like that makes perfect sense. I used to love
Agreed.
the TV show Sliders just for that very fact. Did you ever watch Sliders?
Yeah, not religiously, but was very aware of it.
Yeah,
Yep.
well, you probably would enjoy it. Based on what I know of you, you would enjoy it. But again, it's not groundbreaking, TV. But it's just a lot of fun. The idea that when you go into parallel worlds, just slight little things that are different, stuff like that. So we get a shot of this skyline, and then we get some music in the background. Okay, do you recognize the song? Do you know what it is?
Yeah, usually it's a duet between a man and a woman, I thought. You say tomato, I say tomato, let's call the whole thing off. I forget where it came from, but there's a more famous version of than what we
Right.
hear here.
That's perfect. Okay,
An
so the
older
song is called
version, I
Let's Call
think.
the Whole Thing Off, and it was written by the Gershwin Brothers in 1937. And Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers were dancing to it in the movie Shall We Dance.
Okay, that's who it was.
Okay, it was ranked 34 on the AFI's 100 Years and 100 Songs. Okay, and the line that the song is most famous for is "You like tomato, I like tomato. You like potato, I like potato." Which shows the differences between the pronunciations between the British and American English of those two words. Right, so there are tons of versions of this song. Billie Holiday did a version of it. Sam Cooke did a version of it. Ella Fitzgerald did a version of it. You have a version from with Bing Crosby and Rosemary Clooney, who recorded it in 1960. This movie on the soundtrack, you have Harry Connick Jr. also doing it. Willie Nelson and Cyndi Lauper have a version of it from 2016.
Jeez. That is
Yes, that is true.
that is a duel.
But this version that they use at this point in the movie is the one performed by Louis Armstrong. Does a great job of it.
Yeah, I
Now,
always like
did
him.
you do you know the lyrics at all?
I mean, just the gist of it there, Potato, 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 and then let's call the whole thing off.
Okay.
Like
All right. That
that's
makes sense.
the
That makes
stuff
sense.
I know.
So, actually, I want to go back one second. There's also an episode of The Muppet Show where Sylvester Stallone sings the song while dressed as a Roman gladiator.
I remember
Right. So, I'm just
that.
going to.
He's a good
He didn't
singer. He was
sing
in
in Rhinestone,
Rhinestone,
did
all
he?
right. He can sing.
I thought Dolly Parton did their singing. I
Yes,
hated
he
that movie.
did. Oh no,
It could
Drinkenstein.
be.
He had a
That I
great
don't
song at
remember.
the
Right. So here,
Oh, you'd
well,
remember it
I
if
know
you
I
saw
saw it, but it wasn't that memorable.
No, yeah.
So the lyrics go like this. I'm going to spare everyone. I'm not going to sing them. I'll just read them along. Things have come to a pass. Our romance is growing flat for you like this and the other. While I go for this and that, goodness knows what the end will be. Oh, I don't know where I'm at. It looks as if we two will never be one. Something must be done. You say either, I say either. You say neither, I say neither. Either, either, neither, neither. Let's call the whole thing off. You like potato, I like potato. You like tomato, I like tomato. Potato, potato, tomato, tomato. Let's call the whole thing off. But oh, if we call the whole thing off, then we must part. And oh, if we ever part, then that might break my heart. So if you like pajamas and I like pyjamas, I'll wear pajamas and give up pajamas, for we know we need each other, so we better call the calling off off. Let's call the whole thing off. You say laughter, I say lofter. You say after, I say ofter. Laughter, lofter, after, ofter. Let's call the whole thing off. You say vanilla, I say vanilla. You say sparilla, I say sparella. Vanilla, vanilla, chocolate, strawberry. That doesn't rhyme. Let's call the whole thing off. But oh, if we call the whole thing off, then we must part. And oh, if we ever part, that might break my heart. So if you go with oysters and I go for oysters, I'll order oysters and cancel the oysters. For we know we need each other, so we better call the calling off off. Let's call the whole thing off. So the reason I wanted to read through the whole thing is this song actually has it. You know, you can hear a connection between the words of the song and the, you know, this budding relationship between Harry and Sally.
Well, yeah, because, yeah, like there's a couple things, because it sets up the rest of the movie, but also what's yes. happening in the scene. Correct. Right now.
But it's the idea that, you know, you have two people that have so much not in common. Okay. And the song starts off by saying, you know, the differences between these people, but it reaches a point where it says, okay, you know what? I'm going to give up, you know, acting the way that I want to act because I'd rather be with you.
Right, right. Which goes into the larger theme of the movie. But I also like how they're parting ways, or going to here right. in a minute. We'll get to. And so they're calling the whole thing off. You know, so there's a little bit of right. like.
That's right.
Current and so future.
I think that they just it was a great choice of a song to put in there. You know, and then we get a shot of the car entering New York. It's on the George Washington Bridge. Are you familiar with the George Washington Bridge?
Oh, yes. The Green Goblin threw Gwen Stacy off of that.
There you go. Okay. It's a double-decker suspension bridge that spans the Hudson River, connecting Fort Lee, New Jersey with Manhattan. Obviously, the bridge is named after George Washington. who was the first president of the United States. It is considered one of the world's busiest motor vehicle bridges because it carries over 103 million vehicles a year, which is just an amazing number to think about. You know, it was originally known as the Fort Lee Bridge or the Hudson River Bridge during construction, and in the end they decided to call it the George Washington Bridge, but a lot of people just refer to it as the GW or the GWB. Or sometimes even the George. Mm. You know, and they originally proposed making this bridge in 1906, but they only started construction on it in 1927. They only agreed to build it in 1925. In 1927, they started construction, and they finished it in 1931. You know, so that's a very long period of time. That's 25 years from when they decided to build this bridge, or when the first inklings of making the bridge.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a whole long history about this thing. One of the important things about the bridge is that they have a American flag that has been flying on the bridge. Okay, it started in 1947. And it is the world's largest free-flying American flag that is 90 feet long, 27 meters by 60 feet, and weighs 450 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. So they used to manually put it up for national holidays. And after the bicentennial in 76, they created a mechanical hoisting system in order to lift it up. And it's actually now stored on the bridge itself. It wasn't stored in the bridge. It used to be stored in someone's garage, you know. So they usually put it up on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, President's Day, Memorial Day, Flag Day, Independence Day, Labor Day, Columbus Day, and Veterans Day.
Nice.
Since 2006, it's also been flown on September 11th. Obviously, you know, honoring those lost on that day. So yeah, that I actually was on the George Washington Bridge not just a few months ago. When I was traveling to New York, I had to, you know, when I was in the States, I went over the George Washington twice, once in each direction. And the reason I only did that once in each direction was because of the next thing I'm going to talk about. It costs money to get over the to get over the bridge. Okay, they only charge you going eastbound. Okay, do you know how much it costs today?
No, okay. No idea.
Well, when the bridge was first erected in 1931, it cost 50 cents to travel in each direction, and that was between 1931 and 1970. In 1970, they changed it that you only have to pay one direction. You only pay going into the city, but you don't have to pay going if you're leaving the city. All right? I guess, you know, you think I, you know, people say a lot of things about New York, but I guess you have to pay in order to get out. No, sorry, you have to pay to get in, not to get out.
Right.
So in 1970, it started at a dollar. And I'm not going to tell you what years, but I'll just tell you increments. It went from a dollar to 150 to $2, 3, 4, 6, 8, 12, 13, 14, 15. And as ever since January 5th, 2020, it has been $16. To get into New York via the George Washington Bridge.
That is insane.
Completely. Completely. Like I said, I only went through there to get to the airport because I didn't want to, because I was saying $16 just to get on the, just to get into New York is just crazy. You know? And then the shot changes after they're on the George Washington Bridge. And, you know, we see them, you know, entering Manhattan, which is great. I mean, first of all, it's a great aerial shot of them on the bridge. There's no question about that. They get into the city itself, you know, and then it shows up at the Washington Arch. Okay, the Washington Square Arch. Okay, it is a marble memorial arch in Washington Square Park in Greenwich Village, which is in Lower Manhattan. It was designed in 1891. And it commemorates the centennial of George Washington's inauguration in 1789. And it forms the southern terminus of Fifth Avenue. This is the you know, bottom part of Fifth Avenue. Now, something that I saw that was really interesting is you see a shot of the World Trade Center through the arches. You know, you see both yeah, of the buildings. But what's ironic here is this goes back to what we were saying earlier about the shot of the skyline and stuff like that. The World Trade Center didn't have that antenna until 1979. So in 1977, in our world, there's no antenna there, but in their world, apparently there is.
Yeah. They got it a little early.
So the car stops and Harry gets out and we get to see, you know, he walks around the car and first of all, he like stretches his body out, which is great. You know, that seems to me like a Billy Crystal touch, you know, saying, okay, he's just driven 3 hours in the passenger seat or whatever, however long it was, you know, and he's, you know, stretching out his back. Then he goes to the back of the car and he pulls out his three items. Did you notice what his three items are? We talked about this 2 weeks ago, but you know, I wonder if you noticed what the three items Harry has taken on his journey.
Well, they're basically, one's like a laundry bag, one's a duffel bag, mm-hmm. like a sea bag, yeah. almost like, you know, from the mm-hmm. military, and that's a baseball correct. Bat, which the baseball bat's got to be a Billy Crystal thing too.
You know what? We were debating this a few weeks ago about whether it's a Billy Crystal thing, but it could also be a Rob Reiner thing, because you know, in A Few Good Men, the baseball bat is very important.
Yeah, that's true. That's
And
true.
you have baseball bats in Stand By Me.
Yeah.
You almost have a baseball bat in Misery, but that's that's a sledgehammer instead. So who knows? But what's really cool is that when you see him take out these items from the back of the car, you can see more of Sally's luggage, which you couldn't see beforehand. Okay, we see that she has like a box with some plants in it. There are two suitcases, and there's what looks like a guitar on the right-hand side. Like a guitar case.
Yeah, some sort of musical instrument that's
It could
shaped
be,
like a guitar or
but
cello
we've
or
never
something like
in throughout the
that.
movie we never see Sally playing any type of instrument. So I just find it really interesting that they allow us to see something like this at this point. It works really well. And then the two of them start saying goodbyes to one another. Harry goes, "Thanks for the ride." Yep. It was interesting. Interesting is always a great way to describe something because it basically, interesting isn't, I mean, it goes back to Planes, Trains, and Automobiles where they mention interesting, the same way, actually. That's right. When Neil says that to Del, he goes, "It was interesting." And then Del goes, is that some sort of code for asshole? I think that's what it meant. Something like that. I don't know. Don't remember exactly what that was. That was 2 seasons ago. Who remembers every single word that was said then? Now, one of the cool things also is that when the two of them are standing there, you can see that she has a sticker on the back of the car. Did you notice that there's like a sticker there?
Yeah, University of Chicago looks, it almost looks like a rainbow,
Yes.
but I can't really tell.
Exactly. So one of the things, I mean, 2 weeks ago we talked about the University of Chicago, and one of the things that I forgot to mention, and I had this written down in my notes, and I didn't mention that, and now gives me the perfect opportunity, is that, okay, what famous movie character is an alumni of the University of Chicago? You have any clue?
Oh, no
Okay,
clue.
he studied under Professor Ravenwood. Does that help you?
Oh, yeah, Indiana
That's
Jones,
right.
Professor
That's
Jones,
right.
Dr. Jones.
That's right. He says
Jones.
in Raiders of the Lost Ark, that it's mentioned that he studied under Ravenwood at the University of Chicago. So
Ah, all
yeah,
right.
so I just thought that was very interesting. We talked 2 weeks ago, we talked about all of these different people who are alumni, but I had forgotten to mention that Indiana Jones is an alumni. And I wonder if that's in the same world as when Harry met Sally or not. You never know. Could be.
That's where all those subtle differences happen, with the
That's
world.
right. The multiverse. The Indiana Jones slash Harry Met Sally multiverse. Who knows? And then the two of them act very awkward at this point. And the funny thing is that the awkward conversation that they had took place hours ago. But neither of them, and again, they've well, Sally is still driving, so this is again either within 3 hours, which I'm assuming it's not, or this is like 6 hours later. She's driving, so they've
Yeah.
had time to let this out there atmosphere be there, but it doesn't it still is very awkward for the two of them. And they don't know how to actually even say goodbye to another.
Yeah, because they're not
That's right.
friends. So, like, how do you say
You
goodbye,
say, right.
right, to somebody you're probably never going to see
That's
again?
right.
Yeah.
And then Harry goes, "Well, it was nice knowing you." So he goes,
That's a good one.
"Yeah. Well, have a nice life." And as they're doing that, the two of them are awkwardly looking at one another, and then they decide to just quickly shake hands. And then Sally like lifts up her hand, like to sort of like wave goodbye to him type of thing, and it's great, the little wave. And then Harry picks up his stuff and starts walking away. And so even despite everything that has happened, they still are both cordial and politely saying goodbye to one another.
Right.
Even if Sally is standing by the car as he's walking away, that's when she says to him, have a nice life. Which, out of context, would sound really, really strange. Because have a nice life, when you say that to somebody, isn't necessarily a nice thing to say. But here apparently it is. So that works.
Yeah, I think she means it. Like, seriously, I'm not seeing you again, but exactly. Take care.
No, but she was disappointed before that, she won't have anybody in New York that she knows. So, I don't know. All right, anything else you want to say about this minute, Brian?
No, I'm good.
All right, so the script is, once again, very succinct. There isn't much difference between the script and the final cut. You know, it has the descriptive aspect of it, of where they are each time. You know, it says the car comes over the George Washington Bridge. It's a gorgeous day. And then downtown near Washington Square, the car pulls up and Harry hops out grabbing his stuff. You know, that type of thing. But the dialogue is exactly the same. And then it says at the end, Sally nods. Harry nods in awkward moment. Sally holds out her hand. They shake. And then Sally says to him, "Well, have a nice life." So then it says, and that's the way the minute basically ends from the perspective of the script also. So every Thursday we have yet another edition of Off the Beaten Track, dating courting edition, you know, where my guests will give a little story, anecdote, adventure, misadventure, something that happened to them over the course of life that is somehow related to either dating or courting. So, Brian, you have another story for us?
I do, actually. I guess the penultimate of courting would be when you propose to somebody. So,
yes,
I was when I decided I was going to propose to my wife. We went on a trip to Charleston, South Carolina, and I had made the decision I was going to propose down there because we both like that place and it's pretty cool and a lot of history. And I was trying to figure out, where am I going to do this though? You know, so we went out to a nice restaurant. I'm like, well, that's a little cliche if I do it there, right? So I'm like, I got this brilliant idea. I'm like, Battery Park. If we go down to Battery Park near Rainbow Row, which has got all the colorful houses, that's the battery. Yeah, no, that's the park. They have like a gazebo and a bunch of cannons out there that overlooks Fort Sumter, which is, you know, kicked off the Civil War. So I'm like, oh, how romantic is that, right? But I'm like, no, we're gonna go down to Rainbow Row. Or, you know, to Battery Park. So I kind of mapped it out in my head, you know, because we'd already been walking around there, you know, a bunch. And I'm like, all right, we're going to just head straight down to the park from, you know, the restaurant. Well, what I didn't realize is the road we were going down was where legitimate people lived, you know, these old homes. So during the night, and it was dark, you know, it was pitch black, you know, there's not a lot of lights on there. There's no tourists. There's no tours going by, no carriage rides, nothing. So, and I didn't realize just how far of a walk it was. So like the further we kept going, the more we're like, should we even be out here? Like there's nobody out here. and there's all these, there's very little room to walk where there's some, you know, little alleys between some of these homes and stuff. We're like, is this, you know, like, you know, if anything, if we were ever going to get mugged, it would have been here, you know? So I kept going, no, it's fine. It's fine. But even I was getting a little nervous about like, should I be taking her out this far? But we finally made it to the park and the park was luckily mostly empty. So, went up and I was like, I found the perfect spot. There was a nice gazebo there and went up to the gazebo and went ahead and proposed and everything went well.
That's good.
So we're like, you know what? Let's maybe not go back the way we came. Let's shoot over this way towards the water. Got to the water, and it was like that's where all the lights were, all the people were, all the tourists, all the. And we're like, okay, good. This is where we need to go when we walk back. Let's take the nice scenic route back with the rest of the people, so we're not getting mugged in the middle of the night. But that's my story.
That would have been an eventful story if you got mugged.
No kidding. Yeah.
During the night.
Yeah. It was kind of funny to us. Cause like, think back on it. Cause it was like, nah, it's fine. We're fine. We're totally fine. But I'm like in the back of my mind going, I don't know if we're fine, but it turned out to be fine. So,
right. Okay, great. So you want to once again, tell people, how they can find, Brian Lockhart. Where would they find Brian Lockhart?
Yeah. check out Marvel Events Timeline Podcast with Travis Bow. We just review Marvel comics starting at the beginning. Namor the Submariner was in Wakanda Forever. So we've talked about him quite a bit in the comics. So go learn about his comic origins from us at Marvel Events Timeline Podcast.
All right, great. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher you might be using to listen to this show. And finding me is very, very simple. All you do is go to my website, movierobminutes.com, or you can find me on Facebook, or you can find me on Twitter. So, Brian, you feel like coming back again tomorrow, and maybe we'll have a little story about people that will never forget one another. How's that sound?
Yeah, sounds good. I'm not ready to tell you to have a nice life yet, so I'll be back tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right. So, until tomorrow, I'll have what she's having.
I'll have what she's having.
Gave me a thrill. With all your faults, I love you still. It had to be you. Wonderful you. Had to be you.